for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
This is Friday afternoon, December 31st, 1999, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. The speaker for this afternoon is Glenn Miller.
There's been an awesome presence of the Lord here today, and I would like to live in that presence continually. That's what I would desire, that I could. This afternoon, I'm going to again talk about something that I never heard anybody talk about it ever until I talked about it. And it's something that should be taught by every pastor, every youth leader, every Sunday school superintendent, and in the home. It should be taught. If it were taught, we wouldn't have the problems that we've got in America today with abortion and all the sexual problems, because there would be a fear of God, which there is not. So I'm going to explain a little bit of what happened and how I came to this understanding. It was a supernatural. I didn't understand what I was doing when I did it. Again, we had a young man that attended Notre Dame. He had a full scholarship at Notre Dame. We didn't know him at that time, but he was a Christian before he went to Notre Dame, and he had a scholarship to study to be a medical doctor. And while there, he got introduced to some of the, I don't know if the students or what, who had received the Holy Spirit and who were attending a prayer meeting off of the campus. Now, it so happens that this prayer meeting, the place where he was attending this prayer meeting, is where the outpouring of the Spirit began at Notre Dame and about in the early 60s, when Kevin O'Connor and several others received the Holy Spirit. And it's in the basement of a house, just off the campus. And he was attending there, and he received the Holy Spirit. And this prayer meeting that was held, and as far as I know, still is, in this friend of ours' home. And when he did, he realized the idolatry of Catholicism. He never bothered him when he was saved, but when he got the Holy Spirit, the idolatry of Catholicism bloomed out before him, and so one day. And he's a little wild. Has got the Holy Spirit, and he was wild with it. Bob Mumford used to say, when somebody gets the Holy Spirit, you know, close them up in the room and keep them locked for a year before you turn them loose. But anyway, he went back to school and got up in the cafeteria and stood up on a chair during the lunch hour in the big cafeteria at Notre Dame, and told them that they were all idolaters, and preached them a sermon on idolatry. Well, I guess you know what happened to him. They told him that they would appreciate it if he left, and they excommunicated him. Well, he didn't dare call back home to tell his parents, and he went over to a friend of ours who attended these prayer meetings, and he took him into his home. And they called down here. And John told me about it, and told me what had happened, and he said, I think he needs to come down there to the campground. I said, well, let me pray about it. And the next day, in the evening, at a phone call from the bus station, and somebody on the telephone says, this is Skip Mondragon. Will you come and get me? I said, who? And I said, where are you from? And then he told me he was from my friends up in Indiana. Well, he wasn't supposed to be here. But anyway, here he was. So he was here about nine months, almost a year. And during that time, and when he came here, he was very loud. During the meeting, he would say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and almost to the point of disrupting the service. But by the time he left, we got him calmed down a little bit. But I told him, and his mother was very upset with him, and I don't blame her, because here her son has a full scholarship to one of the prestigious colleges in America, and he gets tossed out. Well, I told him, here, I started to work on him. I said, "You need to go back to school, Skip. You need to finish what you started. You need to go back to school." So finally I convinced him to turn an application in to several different colleges. And then I did a little arm twisting, and ORU accepted him. And he left and went over to and got a full scholarship at ORU from the Army. And so he went over there and started to school, met a lovely young lady that he married just when he graduated over there. And Irma and I went and had the honor of sitting in the there as his parents for him when he graduated. We were honored. And he graduated with high honors, and today he's a, last time I heard, he was a major down at San Antonio, Texas, a teacher in the a hospital there. He went anyway, that's where he ended up. Now back to why he's involved in this. While he was at ORU, we went over there two different times and had meetings with some of the ORU students. And at this one time we went over there, we used the Youth for a Mission facilities. They had a nice facility, I think that's who it was. We used their facilities to have the meetings in. And we had 35 people present in the meeting, two instructors, and the rest were students from ORU. And while I was sitting there waiting for me to teach, scriptures that we're going to study today just came to my mind. And I taught on sexual sins. And when I started on that, and I had never done that before in my life, I had never heard anybody do teach on that, ever. And when I started, and when Irma realized what I was doing, she thought I was out of my mind. She said, "What?" She thought, "What are you teaching on that for here to these young people?" Well, that's where it needs to be taught. It needs to be taught before they ever start the school. And it hasn't been. And it needs to be. If it were, we wouldn't have the problems with the abortion and pregnancy and all that we have with young people. They would understand. We would teach them the fear of God. That God says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. But I was never taught that. Well, I should have been. Because it would have kept me, it would have kept me from doing some things as a kid in school and in that age that I wouldn't have done because I'd had a fear of God and what was going to God's judgment, and that's true with all the young people. They need to be taught. They need to be taught from the time that they can understand anything at all. They need to be taught God's fear. It can be taught, not in a way as I'm going to fully teach it today, but it can be started there in that way. And I say that every pastor is accountable to his Sunday school superintendent, to his teachers, to his young people's leaders, is to see that they teach in some form what I'm going to teach here today. So, when I finished teaching that afternoon, And one of the instructors from ORU was a woman, and there was a door at the back of the building on that side, and she was sitting in a chair right at the door. And I thought, she's sitting there so she can get up and leave. That's what I thought. And I thought, she's also here to report back to the school what's going on and get maybe get Skip and his girlfriend in trouble. Of course, if it got as far as Earl Roberts, there wouldn't be any problem, because I've heard him many a time say, I adjourn you, devil, come out in the name of Jesus. So there wouldn't have been with Earl. But anyway, when I finished teaching and I began to call out some of the areas that we taught in, this instructor that's sitting, a teacher that's sitting by the back door, lets out a blood-curdling scream. Now, she's the teacher, one of the teachers of some of these young people. She lets out a blood-curdling scream, falls off of the chair on the floor, and begins to writhe across the floor like a serpent. Well, from that moment on, we had bedlam, and we had deliverance, and we had victory. There was one young lady that Skip's wife was praying with, and another girl back in the back of the room. And this girl kept saying, I can't, I can't. And Skip's future wife came up to me and said, can you come pray with this girl? And I went back to see what was wrong, and began to pray, and got Irma to come pray with her too. And we finally got her to tell us why she was saying, I can't. This is just before Thanksgiving, and they were going to have Thanksgiving vacation. And, of course, a lot of the students would go home for Thanksgiving who could. And she was from Upper Michigan, and she was of Dutch descent, a beautiful blonde girl, 18 years old. And she was expected to go home for Thanksgiving. Now, her folks are Christians. Her folks, so she said, had the Holy Spirit. Yet, and she had another sister and two brothers, and she said that her mother had molested her since she could remember, and she couldn't go home. I can't. I told her, you go home and be a witness to your mother and testify. And we broke the curse of incest off of her. And she went, but she was bound by fear and by what of that. But you see, that's like I said last night or whenever, that dear Abby said that incest was the closet demon of every house, of every household. And the more I have been around like this, that has seemingly been the truth. Well, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 18, and we will begin there, at the 18th chapter of Leviticus. Now, maybe you can turn there. I'll back up to this other afterwards. Chapter 18, Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, or sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinance or their laws or regulations. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinance to walk therein. I am Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. And now then, he proceeds to tell us what some of these statutes and judgments are. The nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Now, you notice, I want you to notice here that saying, thou shalt not. Basically, we'll fit this as you shall not. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. We will return to this verse later. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. Now let me tell you that this word that says nakedness here, if you look in the original, it means sexual intercourse. You shall not have sexual intercourse with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That's what that word nakedness means. And we need to be blunt and plain about it. It's not just taking, uncovering somebody and taking the clothes off of them. That's not, it goes far beyond that. The nakedness of thy father's wife, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now you notice that this takes in, as we read, this takes in every area of a family, complete, and it's incest in all areas. It's incest and adultery and fornication. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. And neither shalt thou take a wife, to her sister to vex her. Have two wives, which are sisters, to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for uncleanness. Now, what that says is when you have the woman has her monthly period, you're not to have sexual relations with her. It says don't do it. And that's the law. But nobody ever told me that until I read it myself, until I saw it right here, my own reading. Nobody ever said that. No pastor, nobody I ever counseled, ever. Oh, while I'm talking about it, we have found that in some cases, now like with sugar diabetes and eating of blood, I'm not stating that that is the cause of all sugar diabetes, but that is one cause. That I'm positive is one cause of sugar diabetes. Now here, we have found that prostate trouble and female problems are one cause of it, is breaking of this law right here. And if you have that problem and repent, most of the time, if you repent of this and ask the Lord to forgive you, then there's healing for your female problems or the prostate trouble. Verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, adultery, to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Abortion, right there. The same thing as abortion. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Homosexuality and lesbianism. Neither thou shalt lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Bestiality. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereof. It is confusion. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now see, God says, don't defile yourself with any of these things. We have no choice. God says, we're to obey Him. The land is defiled, therefore. I do visit the iniquity, there see iniquity. Doing what you know, been told, understand not to do, and you do it. But I never heard anybody teach this. To teach us that these things are things that we should not partake on in many areas. Oh, in some areas, why, Mother said things would happen, and Mother said, that's naughty, don't do that. Or we'd get a spanking for it. Never said that God said. And that would have made a whole lot more impression if I'd have been told that God said. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. For the America's got a lot to vomit out from all the blood that's been shed in child sacrifice in this nation. For God says that innocent blood must be accounted for. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. It took in everybody who came in from the outside. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it. It finally did spew them out, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. So it says here, let's see, in this verse 29, it says that you'll be cut off. You shall not do it. It says you'll be cut off. Okay, how can you be cut off? Very easy. Bible says we're promised 70 years of life, and after 70 years, it's a gift, and Moses had 120, and nowhere has the scripture ever been changed that after 70 we didn't have an opportunity to arrive at the 120, but after 70 we're living on a gift from God, but we're promised 70, and if something happens to you before 70, you've been cut off. You've been cut off. If you didn't reach the 70 that's promised, that we're promised it. If you didn't reach it, then you got cut off. Just plain and simple. Okay. Let's go over to chapter 20. In chapter 20, again it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again. It says here, it says again. Thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the stranger that sojourn in Israel, and that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, there worked out abortion, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Where did I read that over here? About Moloch, what verse was it? Anyway, yeah. Verse 21, yeah, it says, and you shall not let any of your seed, neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord. But here over in this chapter, it says you shall not do these things. It says you shall not do them. Over here in 20, chapter 20, it says, he shall be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now we've changed from you shan't do it to now. The second time, you're going to have to pay for it with your life. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him or them off, and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. Now that, we look back at that today, and we talk about abortion, but when we do, Abortion takes in every person who's involved, even the pharmaceutical companies who are furnishing the materials, and the party who owns the building where they're renting the building from. That man renting that building to them is just as guilty as the doctor who does performs, and so is the pharmaceutical company who supplied the pharmaceutical equipment for him to do it with. Everyone is guilty. And he says, I'll set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that going whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. So that's a serious, serious thing here. And people don't realize that if they have any relationship whatever with abortion, they are as guilty as the person who has the abortion and the doctor who done it. Everyone is just as guilty before the Lord, even though they may not feel that they are. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and do what? And will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, that both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. The penalty has increased. The penalty has gotten from you shall not do it until the penalty is death. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them, homosexuality, lesbianism, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, and the blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. The penalty is severe. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Bestiality. And if a woman approach and lie down there, on any beast and lie down too, they shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his wife's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. And if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, now we're back to your time of your period, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. You shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. A man also, a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Okay. Now, let's go over. I'm going to come back to a couple of verses over here later, but let's go over and to Deuteronomy 28:27. Deuteronomy 27:28. Verse 15 said, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Well, I need to do something else here. I need to go to Exodus chapter 20 before we read this. Before we read this. Exodus 20. Now, we talked about this before, but for the benefit of this tape, we need to know where this is coming from that we just started to read. Exodus chapter 20. Which we read when we taught previous, but let's read it again so that we can understand what's going on back over here. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, our sin, and out of the house of bondage. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven image or any likeness of anything in the heaven above, that is the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, the lawlessness or rebellion, doing that which you knew not to do, upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those that do not obey my word. Okay? Now, let's go back over here to the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, and let's read on. Now, God says that he's going to bring the iniquities of those who do not obey his word to the third and the fourth generation. That's a curse. You're cursed. Now here, verse 15 says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, if you do that, or they did that, they automatically come under a four-generation curse. Because they've been told that you'll be cursed by it. And back in Exodus chapter 20, God told them there, before this time, he told them that was going to happen. So now they know better. They know better. But if they do it, they bring a four-generation curse on to their posterity. And in four generations, the devil will try, to the best of his ability, to reproduce that so that it becomes... And in four generations, if you take and lay down and go back four generations on both sides of your family, do you know how many people's involved? 72 in four generations. There are 72 ancestors. That's come down the line. Huh? Since 70. 70, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 16 says, cursed be he, now King James says, that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall answer, Amen. Now, if we read that correctly in the original, chapter 6, that's verse 16 of chapter 27. If we read that verse correctly, here's the way that verse reads. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. Now, we read back over here before that the Lord would cut off if you rebelled against your mother and your father. I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but you're cut off. And now then, here it says, if you do that, you're cursed. Verse 17, and there's a four-generation curse there. Verse 17 says, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Well, today, in this country, landmarks are not removed very easily. But in other nations of the earth, they are. Because in this nation, which is an unusual nation, and it fulfills a prophecy in the Bible, this nation has been meted out and trodden down. Now, what does that mean? The Meets and Bounds Act of 1800 decreed that this nation should be surveyed from shore to shore and coast to coast, and that every section should have a brass marker put at the corner of every section. So this was meted out. It was measured. The Meets and Bounds Act meted out America and measured it. There's a verse that says that it shall be meted out and trodden down. It's just repeated twice. Isn't that, well, since I've mentioned that, just for the record, somebody may want to read it, find it. I've got to look for it myself here. I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 18, I believe. Yes, it's in chapter. It's in the 18th chapter of Isaiah. It is in seven verses. And those seven verses all apply to the United States of America. The whole chapter is a prophecy concerning this nation. Okay. So, but if you moved a landmark or a pile of stones or whatever they had, and still that's the way it's marked in most of the nations of the earth, God says here that you're cursed for it, for moving your neighbor's landmark. Now, I also believe that this can be applied spiritually, that we can move our neighbor's landmark scripturally by teaching them in error. We take away the landmark of the gospel. That's my interpretation. And then we come to another place where it says, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wonder. I think it's the same thing. If we don't teach the truth, we're teaching the blind to still blind, and they're wandering in their blindness by not teaching them the truth of the word of the Lord. And so it's very important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we do not teach error. And again, here we have a four-generation curse. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. You know, that's one of the things that the children of Israel got into big problems with, was because they were defrauding the widows and not taking care of them. That's a four-generation curse. Verse 20 says, cursed be he that lieth with his neighbor's wife, fornication, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, or adultery. And all the people shall say amen. Now that's a 10-generation curse we have run into there. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. All the sexual curses fall in the 10-generation curse. And in a minute we'll go back and read the 10-generation curse so that we have understanding of it in this study. As I said, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Verse 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Incest, 10 generations. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that taketh a reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. Now that we come... That's a four-generation curse, but the sexual sins are 10. And verse 26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, let's turn back over here to Deuteronomy 23, and let's read here in Deuteronomy 23 and verify the 10-generation curse. Chapter 23 of Deuteronomy says, he that is wounded or in any stones or has his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, period. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, we understand, as we understand, that is an illegitimate child born out of wedlock. And also, the word also means a mixture. Verse 3, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even forever. Now, we could go back and read who these people are, but it's very simple. They're Lot's children by incest, by his two daughters, the Ammonite and the Moabites, are the descendants of Lot by incest. And God says here that this is a 10-generation curse, the curse of incest. So, and the other night we talked about David and why David, David's family couldn't be king until David came, until his generation came along, because of the curse of incest that was on Judah, because he had, because David was a descendant of incest through Judah's daughter-in-law. That had to run a 10-generation curse because God had to obey his and honor his own laws. Okay? So, we have seen here that God says that when we do these things first, he says we shall not do it. Then he says we'll be cut off. Now then, he says, we'll be cursed with a curse. And the curse is either a 4-generation curse or a 10-generation curse, depending on what the situation is. Sexual sins are 10, the other areas are 4. And we need to understand and study it. Now, I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 18, and then I'm going to come back here to where we just read in 27, another verse. But back here in Leviticus chapter 18, I want to reread a verse for us. Leviticus 18 and verse 9, I want to read to us. It says, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
Is that speaking about sex or actually uncovering?
This word means sex.
So just looking upon the nakedness.
This is going beyond that. This is having sexual relations.
It's the same word that's used when Noah's family looked upon his nakedness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That word nakedness means that they had intercourse. And this means that this is the same thing. Look up your concordance. Yeah. And this little verse here I just read, I'll read it again. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness you shall not uncover. Now, that little verse, God has put that little verse together in such a way that no matter how this family is put together, it is covered. Your mother died, and you got brothers and sisters, and your father remarried, and he married a woman who has children. And now they get married, and you've got children on two sides here, and now they have some more children. And you've got three families put together. That little verse covers all three of those families. God made it so simple, okay, the way it's stated, that if I'd have been doing it, I'd have had to write a whole lot more to say what's said there in that little verse. But now we go back over here to Deuteronomy 28 and verse Deuteronomy 27 and verse 22, and we read the same verse again. Except this time it says, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. And now, then, like you say, we're back to Lot's daughters and sons by incest through his daughters, which was not Lot's fault in a way. I don't mean Lot, but yeah, Lot. In a way it was. He shouldn't have gotten drunk. But he went away and hid, and first thing our record has, he got drunk and caused this to happen. Of course, Judah didn't. Judah made a promise and didn't keep it. And then his own lust got him to do what he did. But it turned out to be used for the glory of God. And another thing that shows that God can use anybody, no matter what has happened to me or you, God can use anybody for his kingdom. And he did. You look down through the lineage of Jesus. They're murderers. They're everything in the lineage of Jesus. And they're Moab. They're from a foreign tribe. And everything is mixed in there. And yet, God chose to bring Jesus through all of that. And that shows that there's nothing impossible. Or what has transpired with you and me, Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are laden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest and peace. Amen. No, that is beyond our ability to fathom and understand, explain, or come to a knowledge of the grace and the mercy of Jesus. All you got to do is come, and he says, here I am. I'm waiting with open arms. Say, well, I can't. I've done too many wrong things. I can't. Jesus wouldn't have me. Yes, he will. He'll have everybody. He'll have the murderer on death row. He'll forgive him. He'll cleanse him. But that does not change the penalty. The penalty still stands. You get a cut on your arm, and it ends up with a scar. The cut's gone, but the scar will be there forever. You have the results of sin. The scars, the blood of Jesus washes away the stain, cleanses you up, and changes you. But the scars may be there forever. The scars that Jesus suffered will be there throughout eternity. The thorns on his head, the stripes on his back, the nails in his hands and feet, and the pierced hole in his side, we will see that forever in eternity to remind us of what he's done for us and the blood of Jesus. He cleanses us. He washes us from sin. But the scars of what we have done in our rebellion may remain there for all of our life. Just like the Lord says, you shall not cut yourself or make any markings on you. People go get tattoos, and unless they spend a lot of money to get them off, they're there forever. God says you're cursed if you do that. In fact, I can turn back here and read it to you. It was right there by chapter 18 of Leviticus. I saw it while I was reading. I never thought about saying anything about it. It's right there in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 26. It says, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantments or observe times. You shall, that's witchcraft. You shall not round the corners of your beards, neither shall any shall mar the corners of thy beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead or for any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And then it goes on to say that your daughter shall not be a prostitute. You shall keep the Sabbath and reverence it for the Lord. And so forth. And then there are Exodus 20, 21 and 6, well, we could get into a whole subject, a teaching about all of that. There are many scriptures to teach that. And the first time that that meant anything to me was we were praying for somebody, and we kept running up against this spirit of Jezebel and Cleopatra and harlotry, and spirit didn't have to go. It's had a right there. And finally we had I don't know why I wasn't familiar with these scriptures, that the scripture or the rest of them that apply to that, but finally I had discernment to have this woman remove her earrings, which were in pierced ears. Now, they weren't just earrings, they were pierced ears. To take those out of her ears and renounce them And when she did, the spirit of Cleopatra came out of her. But it would not come out until she renounced having her ears pierced and doing it, because the scripture says you shall not do it. Then we've had other occasions with, I'm just telling you what's happened, what I have had experience with. We've got other occasions where people, there are some women you see sometimes that really paint their face. I mean, it's almost gaudy, the way, like war paint. Really, but it's almost gaudy. And where they couldn't get delivered from the spirit of Cleopatra until they went and renounced that and went and washed the face. Now, I'm not here condemning anybody. I'm just telling you what's happened, that I've been there and it happened with me. See? So we need, and there's another thing. The pierced ears are a sign of slavery in the Bible. Pierced ears, you'll find scripture that says that they took an awl and stood them by the doorpost and bored a hole through their ear, and they became a slave, and that was a sign of slavery. And anybody who saw that person with that a hole bored in their ear knew that they were a slave that belonged to somebody. They were a slave. So it's a sign of slavery, and it's also a sign of harlotry, both. And we have found that sometimes to be free from that, you not only had to, and we've seen a lot of ears that the Lord has the holes have disappeared in the ears. And they have, I wouldn't say all have, but I've seen several that have. And we have also run into cases where people had to not only remove the earrings, renounce what they had done, and ask the Lord to forgive them, but then they had to speak the name of the person who pierced their ears and ask the Lord to break the soul tie with that person that pierced their ears. Now, I'm not saying that all of these things are true with everybody in every way, but these are just cases that have happened. And so we don't want to make any markings on our body. There are people, there's a lot of men and women now who have tattoos, and a lot of women and men who have gotten saved and been really convicted of it have gone, and it costs a lot of money to get those things taken off. It costs a lot of money. But I know other people who the Lord has never convicted them and have to go and get it removed. But they sure renounced it and wish they had never had done it now. And, of course, there's even a lot of people that I have run across who wish they had never done it, immaterial to what the Scripture says. They just wish they had never had done that. They said got drunk and somebody did this or somebody else was doing it and they talked me into it but they say if I had to do over again I wouldn't have had it done. But the Lord says that we're not to make any markings on our body or any cuttings. Amen. Well, how did we get into that? I guess we needed to. You can take these areas and look up scriptures. There are other scriptures that verify what we're discussing here. Well, let's go back over here to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, we've been discussing curses of 4 and 10 generations here. And sometimes when I've been praying for somebody, I have needed to go back more than 10 generations. I don't know why. And even in some areas, I even have prayed clear back to Adam and Eve. Broke the curses. I couldn't tell you what it was or where, but it's just as I felt led when I was praying to do it. I don't say that is necessary for us to do, but it might be. Or I'm not. But anyway, that's just things that have happened. And then verse 26 here of Deuteronomy 27, we find that we're all in trouble. It said, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, And it says that all the people said amen, but they didn't do it. They said amen, we're going to do it, but they didn't. And it wasn't very many, a couple of hundred years or so after this, until the Lord's almost kicking them out of the promised land. And eventually they do get thrown out. Because God said, if you do these things, you're going to get thrown out. And they turned around in rebellion and they did everything that they told the Lord they wouldn't do. Plus much more. Plus much more they did. Well, over here in chapter 28, we find that it says, verse 16, well, let's go down, we got to start before there. Verse 14, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods or serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you, and they will overtake you. And verse 16 says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou be in thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, of thy flocks and thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And then we go on to read it here. There are 37 basic diseases, infirmities, in the next verses. And Dr. Null, I had Dr. Null one time go through and make me a list. And I have misplaced that list. And he went through and made a list from what we read in the rest of this chapter here. And there are 37 basic diseases that are listed here. And those 37 are the main basic diseases that are known in the earth today. Plus, over here, Well, I'm in chapter 28. But after verse 20, then it goes on to see, the Lord tells them what's going to happen to them in these curses, what these curses are going to be. And in these next verses, there are 37 basic diseases and infirmities that are listed there. See, you'll be mad, and you'll be smoting your knees and your legs and top of your head and different things like that. And you shall become an astonishment and a byword and a proverb and so forth. We've read all these curses here. But there. Now let's look on the other side over here in verse. Let's go back to the beginning of chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and this word is his voice, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Lord, I want to hearken to your voice. I want your blessings. And he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Now, verse 16 says, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. But I want verse 3 to be what I'm under, where blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and all the flocks of thy sheep. But over here, it said, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and of thy land, and the increase of thy kind, and thy flocks, and thy sheep. Verse 5 says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 17 says, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. So you got your choice, whichever you want. Either one. You can have the blessing or you'll be cursed. You can have the blessing, but if you don't seek the blessing, you will automatically get the curse. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We have been blessed. America has been blessed, but it has turned against God, and God's curse is coming upon us. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. The Pilgrims and the Huguenots and all came to America to make this the land of promise, the land where they could serve God without interference. And that's how America came into being, was where people came here to serve God. And that was our heritage. But now there are more people who are in rebellion against God than those who came here to be blessed by God. And he said, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Did you ever stop to think and realize that ever since this nation became a nation until Korea, that all the rest of the nations of the earth were afraid of this nation? We were, our standard when it was raised, stood out before all the nations of the earth. And they were afraid of us. But since Korea, we have gone the other way. We've gone the other way. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Now, America has produced more food and fed more people until any other nation on the face of the earth up through about into the 60s. And now our rebellion and the way we take care of our land is caused, and God says that it was to lay idle once every 7 years. Most of our land hasn't laid idle for 50 years or longer. Verse 12 says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. I read there that thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. Do you know, I don't know if you're aware or not, but America has loaned money to every nation on the face of the earth, and we have collected none. We have never borrowed from any. We have loaned to every nation on the face of the earth, including several billion every year since the land called Israel came into being. They have never loaned to us, and they have never paid us any interest or repaid any other loan. And there's only one nation on the face of the earth that has ever repaid their loan. Finland. Finland has repaid their loan. The loan that was loaned to them in World War I and all the other nations of the earth, some of them have paid some interest, but nobody has ever tried to repay the loan since World War I that has been loaned to them, except Finland. And we have loaned hundreds of billions of dollars to all the nations of the earth. We have never borrowed $1 from anybody else. So, who has done that? Well, while we're talking about the curses and the blessings, I want to read one more place about curses. Over in Malachi, I want to read here what God said through the last prophet that stood before the Lord before the time, 500 years before Jesus. 400 years before, approximately, before Jesus in Malachi. We'll start over here in verse 13 of chapter 1. You said, behold, what a weariness it is that we have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now, Malachi is saying here that the heathen were more honored God more than the children of Israel did. And he says here that they have cursed themselves because they have brought to God the that which was lame and blind and so forth. Instead of bringing to God the best, they have brought to him that which was lame. And God says, they're cursed for it. You're deceived. He says, you have promised to bring me that which was best, and the Lord required it to be without blemish. And you have not done that. And God says that you're cursed. Then he goes on to say, O you priest. Now this is the common man. But now here we come to the priesthood. This commandment is for you, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory. Now, well, we're back talking about the glory that Dan was teaching us about. To give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart, or do not believe it. So I'll corrupt your seed, I'll spread dung upon your face, and your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid or honored or reverenced my name. Amen. Okay, then let's go over here to chapter 3. And says, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know that this nation spends more money, much more money on chewing gum every year than what is given to all the missions, money that goes to missions from America. Yeah, much more, for chewing gum. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, the God of victories, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that you shall not be room enough to receive it. And over in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, there's scriptures about poverty and covetousness and greed. And verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now he'll do that if we obey his word, but otherwise he won't. And then he says, if we do that, all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he says back over here in verse 5, he says, and I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and do not reverence or honor me, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Except for God's mercy. And he says in verse 7, even from the days of your fathers you're gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. So, Lord, help us. My desire is to follow after you, to return unto you, and to cleave unto you, and to never desert or leave you. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to pray and against the sins of incest and adultery and fornication and the curses of them, and ask, thank the Lord for the ability to set us free and break us. Yes, dearie? Uh-huh.
The curses that you break during deliverance,
mm-hmm.
they're curses from God?
Yeah, what I just read.
Okay, well, is there scriptures in the Bible that say we can break curses
mm-hmm.
that God
put on us? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, it is written, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. So we have to believe on the Lord Jesus, and we are saved. And it also says in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became our curse so that we don't have to bear the curse. So we have to believe on Jesus for salvation. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus to break the curses that we are under. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, we have dominion and authority to do that. Now, I never knew that. I never knew that. First time I found that out was, like I was telling you, a woman who was here, who the Lord told her to have me pray for and break the curse. I said, in my head, I said, but she said the Lord said to do it. So I prayed. Now then, I had to go hunt up these scriptures and find scriptures that gave me the authority to do that. Because...
He said in Hosea.
Huh?
He said in Hosea, my people perish.
Lack of knowledge. And how true. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Old Testament. We don't believe in that. See? Yeah. Well, let's take an example in the Bible. There was a woman who came to Jesus who had an issue of blood. Oh, these 18 years, this daughter of Israel was bound with this curse. And Jesus said, it's time to set her free. Uh-huh. 18 years she had that. But Jesus said, broke whatever it was and set her free. And the disciples didn't want him to bother or to leave her alone. And just like the blind man, they didn't want him to bother Jesus either, but he persisted, and he got his sight back. And remember the parable that Jesus gave about the widow woman who come and tormented the judge? The judge didn't want nothing to do with her, and she tormented the judge until the judge paid attention to her. And Jesus said, we should do likewise. In other words, you don't give up. You don't give up. You keep coming to the Lord with your situation and problem, and he says he'll hear and answer us.
I got to read this for Dan's sake. It's Hosea 4:6-7.
Uh-huh.
It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because yep. thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God,
amen.
I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame.
Into shame. Hosea 4, 6, I think it's about 6 through 9 that you read there. Mm-hmm. That's, amen. So, if we search the scriptures, we can find many scriptures that show that we are to obey the word of the Lord, and not to, we try too often to say, well, that don't apply to me anymore, and but yeah, we've got the problem. Well, if I've got the problem, there must be some reason for it, so I need to find out about it. Now, I have, by the grace and the mercy of the Lord, I have overcome one situation, and so has Maury. The two of us, and so is Brother Martin, all three of us. We have passed the 70-year mark. We three have passed the 70-year mark. Huh. Well, now that's our next goal, is 120. Right. That's right. All of whatever God honors us with and sees that we should achieve to. But we have reached the promised guarantee. Now we are living on the grace of where. Now you see, Joshua, he didn't get the 120. That I don't understand. He only got 110. Joshua, Moses had the 120, and I don't know of anybody except Anna that's recorded in the Bible who passed the 110 towards Moses scripturally. Anna, according to all the figures, was 111 when she came in the temple and took Jesus and blessed him. She was 111 years old, minimum. How old? I don't know. There's no way to tell how old he was. Well, anyway, let me pray about these areas of our life, and then we will come back about 7:30 tonight for this evening, and everybody get a chance to have a word to say that would like to. Testimonies, don't make them a mile long, but if you're ministering, you have more latitude than a testimony. Okay. All right. Father, I come this afternoon in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. For it is written, if I come in Jesus' name, I have authority. And Jesus, you said that you gave us authority in your name to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free and to cast out demons. And Father, and also it is written in Galatians 3:13, devil, that Jesus gives me the authority because he became our curse to break the curses that are on our lives for all of us who have committed sins that are worthy of death and have come under these curses. Father, I'm thankful that a situation arose where I come to this knowledge and understanding from the many, many years of my life that I was ignorant of these areas and was bound by these demonic powers and still in areas may be. And Father, we desire to walk before you in holiness and righteousness to be a holy people for your name's sake. But Father, I come, take authority in the name of Jesus over the spirit of incest. I bind it in this household in the name of Jesus, and to any who may ever hear this tape, I take that authority, and I bind the spirit of incest. I bind the spirit of adultery. I bind the spirit of fornication. I bind the spirit of lesbianism. I bind the spirit of homosexuality. I bind the spirit of bestiality. And I come against the spirit of fornication and uncleanliness and sexual perversion. And I bind them in Jesus' name. And I bind them back for a minimum of 10 generations in our ancestral heritage. Then, Father, I come against the curses that we're under because we have disobeyed your word and not honored your word. Have not honored our mother or our father, have been involved in the occult in any form, in any way. Father, I lift up these areas of our life, and I come and take dominion in the name of Jesus over the occult powers, and I break the curses of them back for 4 generations, and for the area of not honoring our mother and our father, for the area, Father, of not looking after the poor and the blind, if that was our opportunity, and we shirked it, and the widow. Father, I lift these areas up before you, and the others that I read. If we haven't paid our tithes, if we have not given offerings, if we have brought to you that which was blemished and wasn't whole, and we've made a vow unto you, and then never kept the vow, or did something different instead of keeping that vow, ask you to forgive us, Lord. And I come, take authority over these areas and these curses. I go back into them for 4 generations. Now, Father, I go back in these areas for 10 generations in these areas. And in the sexual sins and these others, I go back for 20 generations. And I take authority and dominion over the ancestral heritage that's come down our family line because it was allowed to, because it is written in your word and gave Satan a right to us. And I put the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse these areas of sin that we have, that has been visited upon us. And I take authority over them and I bind them in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I cut them off in Jesus' name. And I command these spirits to come out of us and set us free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of incest, I bind you. Break your assignment. I speak forgiveness to those who molested and those who committed the incest. I speak forgiveness to them from those who were molested and to those who did. I speak forgiveness, Father, and I thank you for it. But then, Father, I bind that spirit and break its assignment to perpetrate itself down through the family. And I bind it and break its assignment in Jesus' name. I bind you, spirit, to the day of judgment. Father, I thank you for an angel of the Lord here. And wherever that this may be played or listened to, that an angel of the Lord will come. And that whatever spirits come out, that you'll bind them up in Jesus' name. And keep them until the day of judgment when Jesus shall judge them. Father, I come against the spirit of adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, having relations with a husband and wife in the time of the wife's period time. I break that curse of uncleanliness in the name of Jesus and of blood. I break it in Jesus' name. And I take and come against the results of it that may be of female problems or prostrate troubles. I bind and break that assignment and I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and wash. And I appropriate the scars and stripes of the whipping post to that body to bring healing and restoration. And I command that body to receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I lift up the sins of deliberately disobeying your word. I lift that up before you, Father. And I lift up the curses, Father, that we come under, Father, when we do not obey your word, that are in our families, in our businesses, in our physical lives, things that happen to us because we disobey your word and we come under the curse of it. The curse in our family, the curse in our business, the curse with our cattle and in our store. Father, I lift these curses up before you, and I appropriate the blessing of Abraham and the blessing in our lives, and I break the curse and the bondage of it over our family and over our lives, over our businesses and our homes. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash, and I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed at Calvary for you and me. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I appropriate the fact that Jesus hung on a tree for that we could have the authority to break the curses that are over us. For he became our curse when he hung on that tree. And I thank you for it. And when it was finished, he said, "It is finished." So thereby we have authority in the name of Jesus, according to the word that it is written, to take this place of authority today and to stand and declare restoration and healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirits that are involved in all of these areas. I bind them to the day of judgment. I command them to come out of God's people in Jesus' name and to set God's people free. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I praise you for it. Everybody take a deep breath. Take a real deep breath. In Jesus' name, I bind these powers and break their assignment over us in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow and move in behalf of every one of us, in behalf of those in any way that have been set free from demonic demon powers. Father, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will rest and fill every area, that there will be no place for Satan to find us swept and clean to take back seven other spirits. For Father, we fill these areas with the anointing and the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you, and I thank you that Jesus said that when he went away, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is here now to fulfill the calling that he's called here for, and to fill these areas, and to be present to give us wisdom and guidance and direction and understanding, Father, for your word says that if any man lack knowledge, that you give it to us, and that you said that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that's not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, Father, help us to do that regardless of what others may say. Help us to stand on your word when we know that it is written and that we will not be able to be gainsaid. I thank you for it, Father. Now I bless all that hear my voice. I pray your blessings and your anointing upon them. And I thank you for the privilege of teaching and praying. For I ask it, and I come in the name of the Lord Jesus. For he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And unto him I give praise. Alpha and Omega is my Savior, the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for that privilege. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.